43. Everyone in the room, including the Chandra, gathered around Steris to read the letter Wax had sent. Perhaps they didn't trust her to deliver the information out loud, or perhaps they needed to see it with their own eyes.
Bomb is confirmed real and already fabricated. City destroying capacity. Enemy is trying to find a way to deliver it to Ellendale. It's time to evacuate the city. They know I'm after them. I hope that my presence won't cause them to do anything rash. Investigation suggests attempts to deliver by train or road failed and they seek alternative, perhaps some kind of self-propelled artillery shell. Regardless, I suggest you close off all routes into Ellendale as a precaution. There is conflict among the Set. Some want to destroy Ellendale, others maybe the entire basin by restarting the Ashmounts, judging by a strange photograph we've found. I may be able to exploit the schism between them. Either way, my primary objective is neutralizing the bomb's delivery mechanism. Get as many people out as you can, as quickly as possible, in case I fail. I love you, Waxillium.
Atawathwin immediately ordered the young radio operator sequestered, along with anyone who might have heard the communication. Everyone else in the room slumped into chairs at the table, and several looked to Tensun.
We should believe Dawnshot, he said. Harmony has long thought the enemy was working on something like this. The deadline is far more urgent than we realized. Rosts, we need to take this very seriously.
I am forced to agree, Atawathwin, of all people, said. I don't much like Ladrian, but this news, with the Chandra confirming it. My Lord Governor, it seems we have a gun to our heads.
The governor leaned forward on the table, grim.
Finally, Steris thought, releasing a held breath, they are giving this the attention it deserves. Maybe now she could get something done.
Time is of the essence, the governor said, looking around the table at the three senators and his vice-governor. If there really is a bomb, we have to move fast.
Agreed, Lord Set said. How quickly can we get out of the city?
That depends, the governor said. Ambassador Dahl, can I take that airship right now?
So long as the streets aren't packed, Atawathwin said, we can theoretically be out of the city via motorcade in under an hour.
Will that be quickly enough? Lady Hammondus said. What is the destructive radius of this weapon, Chandra? How far away do we have to get to be safe?
I'll send for our families, the governor said. We have to do this quietly, though, to not inspire a mass panic.
Steris closed her eyes, feeling sick. On one hand, she understood their emotions. After all, she had sent her children away immediately. At the same time, Rusts, they were all going to run, weren't they? She met Constable Reddy's eyes. He'd slumped in his chair, looking numb. Sworn to protect the people of the city, and there was nothing he could do. Nothing but sit here and dread what was coming. She didn't have to do that. She dreaded it already. That was the purpose of her lists. She realized with shock that her method was actually working. She didn't feel afraid. She didn't feel anxious. She could function. She had to evacuate the city. Steris pulled out one of her thickest notebooks, thumping it down on the table. As everyone else started calling for aides to prepare their escapes, she gathered her thoughts and flipped through her notes. She had 7 detailed evacuation plans for the city. Which was the best in this situation? After a few minutes, though, the governor ordered the door shut again and all aides temporarily expelled. The room's anxious occupants turned toward him.
He said. Atawathwin has a suggestion.
She had composed herself quickly and now stood up in her immaculate terrace robes, hands out invitingly.
The situation is indeed dire, but I have realized we have a solution. Upon our arms, so to speak. Lord Waxillium says that there is likely some kind of device that will launch the bomb all the way to our city. But we have Metalborn at our disposal, the greatest wealth of them in all the basin. We should gather coin shots and station them to push this weapon away. We can position them atop our highest structures to watch for the weapon's arrival, or better, keep people on call in Bilming watching. They'll be able to tell us when it has launched.
Pardon me, Adewethwin, Steris said. Have you ever been in a situation where modern weapons fire is discharged? Have you seen the speed at which it moves? Trust me. If this weapon is launched, when it reaches Elendil, it will impact too quickly for an Allomancer to stop.
The Vice Governor wilted for a second, then her eyes widened.
What if, she said, we had an Allomancer with access to all the abilities and powers of the Lord Ruler?
Several in the room gasped. Dahl stood up straight, his masked eyes fixated on Adewethwin.
It's an emergency, she said. A true emergency. The entire city is in danger. We need someone who can think the thoughts of 1,000 people, someone who can move planets and raise mountains. We need the Bands of Mourning.
Bother. First off, the bands didn't work that way. They gave a person supercharged metallic abilities, yes, but they didn't contain all the powers of the Lord Ruler.
Unfortunately, the mythology surrounding them and Wax's use of them had only grown over the years. That said, Steris had considered using the bands. They often factored in her calculations. A powerful relic created by the survivor, or maybe the Lord Ruler, which granted vast metalborn powers to the holder, wasn't the sort of thing one ignored.
"We can't use the bands," Steris said. "The people of Elendil made a promise. The foundation of a treaty."
Behind them, Admiral Dahl, so quiet through most of the meeting, approached the table.
"The Bands of Mourning," he said, "were entrusted to the Faceless Immortals under the strict understanding that the bands would never be employed by your people."
Technically, the bands weren't to be employed unless the Malwish attacked Elendil. That had been the actual deal, a way of making certain that Malwish aggression didn't go too far.
"Surely, Ambassador," Adewethwin said, "you can see our need for self-preservation. You wouldn't deny us the means in this dire emergency to protect ourselves from this calamity?"
"Surely," Ambassador Dahl said. "You understand that any action by those in the basin using this sacred relic, however dire the situation, must be seen as an act of aggression against my people. You don't think we've suffered catastrophes that we wish we could have used the bands to stop? We could have been using them to save lives these past 6 years. But our agreement was that they were too powerful for anyone to use."
The room fell silent. He's playing some kind of game here, Steris thought. She couldn't fathom what.
"We," the governor said, licking his lips, "we should fetch them. If an Allomancer with enhanced speed of thought could push away this bomb before it lands, that gives us a chance."
"They don't have as much power as you think," Steris said. "They can't accomplish that."
"Actually," Tensun said, "there's a possibility."
"What?"
Steris asked.
"There are things about the interactions of the powers you don't know," he said. "I have only hints. I think it might be possible to send the bomb away using the bands, but the deal we made..."
"Holy One," the governor said, "what would Harmony say should it come down to our survival as a city or betraying the Malwish Trust? What are his wishes?"
Tensun stood quietly for a moment, then spoke with a growling voice,
"I will fetch the bands."
The Two Seasons. Flight of the Ornasar. Though I desperately wanted to peek, my regard for my longtime companions compelled me to honor their request, even though the sound of their merging was like an octopus kissing a giant slug. For 10 minutes. When I was allowed again to look, the beast before me resembled a featherless version of the paintings of Ornasars we'd seen at the quarry, with long, thin bones and bat-like wings. On either side of the creature,